Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for all your people that are here today. Unto you shall the gathering of the people be. And we gathered unto you today, not unto any man. But truly our fellowship is with the Lord and also with one another. And we pray that the light of the word of God will shine in our hearts today, as always, for it is written, the entrance of your word bringeth light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be even now. Improve, Lord, the quality of our walk with God. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Shadows of the end. Why do we call it shadows of the end? Well, because we're not quite there at the end, but we're right there. It's like, you know, shadows casting. You know, shadow is never really too far from the object. As a matter of fact, it's connected, you know, to the object. So we are very, very close to the end. We're literally in the shadows of it. And today's lesson is the light of life, the star, the light of life. I'm going to be covering the difference between darkness and light. I'm going to be covering, you know, the light of life and what that means to us and to our walk with God, and see what God has to tell us. You know, I'm going to start here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verses 19 to 21. As a foundational scripture for this, we'll pick it up at 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You know, the word of prophecy supposed to give us light, even when everything else is dark. And during the night hours, it's supposed to shine until the day breaks, and that day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of private or any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So that's the text for today. But I'm going to talk more about light and darkness in a bit. You know, you've heard me talk about the light and darkness from the beginning, how God separated the day from the night in Genesis. I want to talk about how God called the light out of darkness, you know, and the things that God did and spoke concerning the light, you know, tracking that down from the beginning to where we are now, and what the light of life truly means, and how we must have that walk in the spirit, you know, walking in the spirit, the life of the spirit, living in the spirit, walking in the light, you know, what all of that truly means to us, you know, at the end of the age. Now, light, God is the very light, you know, that lightens every man. Jesus is that light, lightens every man that comes into this world. We read that in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You know, John was writing about the things that he remembered, the Holy Spirit brought to his mind, and he talked about Jesus being the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness, comprehending not, darkness cannot figure it out, nor can the darkness overcome it. And so on and so forth. Now, John the Baptist was a man sent from God. The same came for a witness, to be a witness of the light. You can see that that's now capital L. The light. Hallelujah. That all men through him might believe. Now, John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, that Christ was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, he was in the world. The world was made by him, but yet the world knew him not. So we know he's talking about Christ. He came unto his own, and his own, well, the children of Israel, they rejected him at that time, the Jews. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Which were born not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And this word, capital W, was made flesh, Christ, and dwelt among us. And we, John, James, Peter, Andrew, the rest of them, they all beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So that's the introduction of Christ being the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. Let me tell us also something quickly about light. The contrast between light and darkness, which had been there from the beginning, which God also left in place, the darkness, did not eradicate the darkness. He only separated the darkness from the light. And there's a reason why he did that. You know, he left it in place side by side. But here's what he said about in Isaiah 45. Consider this verse in Isaiah 45 verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. He can do all these things. I, the Lord, do all these things. You know, he can do all these things. But he cannot and did not create the light, because he himself is the very light. He commanded the light to shine. He formed the light. But you can see how there's a contrast between forming the light and creating the darkness. You know, you can't create light, but that's very God. So he did not use the verb create for light, but he said, well, you know, I formed the light, because that light is eternal, cannot be created, neither can it be destroyed. You know, in fact, some of the laws of physics, you know, they call that energy, they call that matter, but it's really light. And so I tell you that it can't be created, it can't be destroyed. Well, that's light, really. You know, the light that lightens everything, the very source of life. It's called the light of life. Jesus spoke about it in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He said, look, I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, that's really where our lesson is at today. The light of life versus walking in darkness. Now, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is the very light. In him is no darkness. Now, as long as anyone is in darkness, it cannot be in God, because there is no God. I mean, there is no darkness in God. So consider the spectrum of light, you know, as a straight line, kind of like the horizontal axis. On the far left is darkness and death. And on the far right is light and life. Well, you know, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, the sin, the fall, darkness came into this world. And death also came upon everybody. So we end up finding ourselves on the left side of this spectrum of light, which is actually darkness and death. Death already passed upon every man that was born into this world. Now, the journey of life is for us to make our way from this far left, that is darkness and death, and make our way towards light and life. Now, the farther you get away from the darkness, the closer you get towards the light. The farther you get away from the darkness, the farther you also get away from death, because darkness and death are the same, you know, and light and life are the same on the other side. And the reason that we have night and day is because God separated the light from the darkness, but he left them side by side. He called the light that he formed out of darkness, he called it day. And he called the darkness night. You know, and he said, well, the evening and the morning were the first day. And so that's how we have the dividing of time till today. That's how we have our days. As long as there is an evening and a morning, then there will be a day. But someday, there will be no more darkness. When there is no more darkness, there will be no more evening. When there is no more evening, it will be day all the time. As a matter of fact, at even time, it will still be light. That we never, you know, it's coming a time, not yet quite here, but there's coming a time when there will never be night, and it will always be day. And if it is always day and there is no night, then you will not be able to count time as we count it now. Because the way we count time is the evening and the morning, the first day, the evening and the morning, the second day, and so forth. Well, when there is no more evening and it's only the day, you know, then, I mean, it's only the morning and there is no end to it, then there is really, you can't really tell the end of the day. So you won't be able to count time. And people who make it, they just live forever. But there is no more, you know, beginning of day or ending of the day. None of that will be there anymore. Right now, the night and day continues. But the same God, hallelujah, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, even he is commanding light for us right now. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shining in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is so deep. I'm going to get into some of that today. Now, talking about the day star rising in our hearts. Talking about God shining in our hearts. Talking about God giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is what brings knowledge into our lives. But when it comes to our lives, it brings light also. Because we were born into darkness. you know, but, you know, as the, we receive that light of life, it's already there. You know, Jesus ordained it that everyone that was born into this world, even though they were born into the darkness, they will have the light also that can bring them out of that darkness. It's there with them. Now, at some point in time, when their heart is opened up to that light, then there is a transformation. And we begin to get away from the dead works of darkness and begin to walk in the light. And the scriptures command us to walk in the light and not to walk in darkness. Well, let's see what, you know, walking in the light means. In the book of John, chapter 11, let's read verses 9 and 10. John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. This is a profound scripture that Jesus brings out concerning light and darkness. You know, he was talking about, you know, the daytime, you know, having 12 hours and people being able to walk in the day and not walk in the night and so on. John chapter 11, verse 9. Are there not 12 hours in the day? So there are 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night, you know, and so on. But the one day that Jesus was talking about was really, you know, 12 hours, not 24, you know, so, but somewhere along those hours, he says, when you are in that day, you cannot stumble because you see the light of this world. So if any man walk in the day, you know, during the daytime, he doesn't stumble because he can see the light of this world, because there is light around him. And so, walking in the day, he does not stumble. Now, but if any man walk in the night, he stumbles. But look at the reason why Jesus says the man will stumble when he walks in the night. It's a profound statement, and that's what we want to talk about today. The reason that people stumble when they are walking in the night is not because they do not see the light of this world, but because there is no light inside of them. That's what Jesus said here. He said, well, if you walk in the day, you will not stumble because you see light around you. And that's, you know, everybody understands that. But this one next statement is kind of difficult to understand. So we want to break it down. If you walk in the night, though, you will stumble, not because you don't see light around you, but because there is no light inside of you. It's what Jesus said. The man stumbles because there's no light in him. He did not, this time around, he didn't say because he doesn't see the light of the world. Now, what does this mean? This means when there is light in you, no matter whether it's dark around you, you will never stumble. Because the light that is in you, the day star that is arisen in your hearts, the light of life that you have inside of you will guide you. Praise the Lord. You know, and you don't need the light of this world, so to speak, when you have the real light of the world inside of you. Now, Jesus said, I am that light of the world. Glory to God. You know, and if you walk in me, with me, you will not walk in darkness, because you have that light inside of you. But not only did Jesus call himself the light of the world, he also called his disciples, which means us, the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, in verses 13 to 16, he's talking about us being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and asking, commanding us to make sure that our light is shining so that people may see our good works and come to our Father. Matthew chapter 5, read it from verses 13 to 16. That is critical also as a part of this lesson. Now, if we are the salt of the earth, but we are no longer actually behaving like salt, then Jesus said, well, that salt is no good It needs to be cast out and trodden off men. That's unfortunately happening in many cases. Well, but he also turned around and said, you are the light of the world. When you are the light of the world, like a lighthouse or a city that's set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel. You don't do that, but you put it on a candlestick or you put it up. The lights that are created in houses today are up on the ceiling so everybody can see, and so on and so forth. You know, so let your light so shine. There's a light that is in you that must shine. Glory to God. This light must shine. Now, how do people who are believers still walk in darkness? How does that happen? Remember, Jesus is talking, you know, not just to the people of the world, but he's talking to his own disciples too. Every time he says these things, people around him, he's talking to them as well, you know. Now, how does a man who is supposed to be in Christ, you know, walk in darkness? How does that happen? Well, the reason it happens is when we do not love our brother. You know, because in the book of 1 John, it took time to dwell on this in great detail. You know, if you love, you say, a brother, a person that loves not their brother is a murderer. You know, 1 John chapter 3. First of all, he says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know we've passed from death unto life. Why? Remember, the spectrum of death and darkness on one side, light and life on the other side. Well, he's saying, we know we've crossed from that side to this side, you know, because we love the brethren. Now, this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Well, and he said, he that loveth not his brother is still on this side of the spectrum. He's still in the darkness and is in the death. And he goes on to say, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You know, so if we say that we are in Christ and we say that we are walking in the light, but we abide not in the truth and love not our brother, then unfortunately, you know, we are still in the darkness. That is what we are being told here. Let us love one another. You know, love your brother just like Christ has commanded us. Now, if you say that you love God, this is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, but you hate your brother or your sister, then this says you are a liar. Because how can you love God whom you have not seen? I mean, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen when you hate your brother whom you see every day? You know, so it is important for us, you know, to love one another as Christ also has loved us. Now, this is the way that we know that we are no longer in darkness, because we love the brethren. So we know we are passed from death unto life. You know, but he that loveth not his brother is still in the darkness. Now, darkness is what brings death. So let's make sure that we are not walking in darkness. And if people walk in darkness all the time, but they don't know it. But Jesus said, look, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. But many people are walking in darkness as long as they are not exhibiting love, you know, then you are walking in darkness. If you are if you hate your brother or your sister, then you are walking in darkness. So that is something that we need to take to heart. If you hate your brother, you are in darkness even until now. Wow. Let's think about that for a minute. Because God doesn't want us to be in darkness. That's the topic of today. And that's the reason why I am slowing down. Because I want you to assimilate this. You know, so assimilate the fact that if we do not love our brethren, then we are abiding in darkness. Abiding in darkness. Now, let's read also 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up from, you know, verse 9 to about verse 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. If you say that you are in the light, he said, he that saith he is in the light, and yet hateth his brother or sister, is in darkness even until now. But he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. So this stumbling that Jesus was talking about actually comes from not loving your brother. You don't love your brother, you're going to stumble. And you may not even know that you are stumbling, but you are, as far as God is concerned. He that hateth his brother, 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not where he goeth. He doesn't even know that he's stumbling. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, that is so profound. God is calling us. It's something that God is doing now, pruning us, trying to get us, you know, pressing us more accurately into shape. We need to get rid of every darkness because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And for us to be united with God, we can't unite with him. To be fused with him, you can't be fused with him when you are in darkness. In fact, even Christ, the moment that he became darkness, we see that God forsook him for a moment. Because he says, you know, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, many people may not realize that, but, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, God actually forsook him for a moment. Matthew chapter 27, let's pick it up from about verse 45. When he was on the cross, because God laid the iniquity of us all upon him, according to Isaiah, that was laid the iniquity of us all upon him. Well, he who knew no sin, once he was made sin for us, God had no choice. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, verse 21, he says, for God has made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the moment that God made Christ to be sin, in fact, this was the reason why Christ was, you know, he was afraid to go through with that because he had never been separated from the Father and the light, because that's who he was. But for him to become darkness, for him to become, darkness and sin, he was terrified, you know, and he kept praying, Lord, let this cup pass away from me. But nevertheless, that will be done. But he had to go through it because of you and because of me. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Jesus hanging upon the cross. We see these things happening to him. He says, you know, we see that darkness was over the land even for about 3 hours. You know, because the light was snuffed out. The light of this world was snuffed out. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So technically the light was out. And even the light, physical light, revolted. You know, there was darkness over the whole place for 3 solid hours. Right in the middle of the day. You know. And then Jesus finally, he cried out. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ladies and gentlemen, God forsook the Christ on the cross for a moment because he was made darkness. And in God, there is no darkness at all. That shows you how serious this is. The moment that Christ became darkness, God turned away from him. Can't do it. Cannot be a part of God when you are in darkness. But it was necessary for our redemption. This is the reason why God so highly exalted the Christ. Because he went through with that. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want to be, you know, fused with God, we want to become one with him, we cannot have any darkness in us. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together, you know, except they be in agreement? You can't do it. You know, we cannot walk with God. We're talking about walking in the light, walking with God and so on. We can't do it unless we are in alignment with him. Well, we cannot be in alignment with him when we are in darkness. So it is important for us to shed all of that darkness and make sure that we are walking completely in the light. There was a man called Enoch that walked with God. You know, the only way he could have walked with God was he was in the light. Enoch was born into the darkness and death, just like everybody else. But he figured out a way to outpace darkness and death. Now, darkness and death is catching up on everybody. That's why the Bible says, even though our outward man perish, and outwardly, darkness and death is catching up with everybody. But inwardly, you can have the light of life. But Enoch figured out how to physically be transformed back into light. When God created Adam and Eve, the spirit was on the outside because he was a spirit man. He was a living soul or living spirit, really. The flesh was almost nowhere to be found. He was in a bubble that was like the light. And his flesh was way tucked down, way, way, way down nowhere. You know, but when the devil appealed to the flesh and all of these things happened, the whole thing was reversed. But then we see from that point on, the bubble was busted. The spirit shrank. The flesh came out. And now they see their flesh, that, oh, I'm naked and everything, and they're hiding and all of that. And the glory of God is lost. Romans 3:23. The glory of God is that light. All have seen and fallen short of that light, which is the glory of God. That was the same light that lightened all the animals. They looked to Adam and they were enlightened. Whatever Adam said, that's what they did. You know, but now, lo and behold, we see that that light was passing away. That light became dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. That light was upon them. It was causing them to live hundreds and hundreds of years They almost lived to 1,000 years, but they couldn't do it. Because the Lord said, in the day that you do this, you will die. And a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so they died in that same day. That's why none of them could live to be 1,000 years. Now, if they would have done it in 1,000 years, they would have lived forever after that. There would have been no death. If they had made it through that first day, which is really 1,000 years with the Lord, they would have lived forever. They would have figured out a way to bring everything into alignment and bring the whole world into obedience and have dominion. But they couldn't do it. Enoch figured it out though. Somehow he figured out how to outpace death. Death and darkness was living in everybody and bringing everybody down. Their ages, there's 900 years, 960 something, and all of these. And eventually, the thing was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Today, if people live to be 80 years old, you know, people I think that they've lived a long life. 80 years old? My goodness. Whereas they used to live for hundreds of years. In fact, even by the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were still living to 160 something years. They were still living to a good old age. But that light, you know, was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You know, but occasionally, somebody figured it out, like Enoch figured it out. Not sure how, what Elijah figured out, but he figured it out. You know, and they could beat that death. Somehow they figured it out. Now, the light of life in us today gives us power over death, spiritual death, and even physical death. Now, when we talk on this topic, people don't believe that it can actually happen. Well, you know, nobody actually, it's very hard to find people today that believes that somebody can actually beat death and not die. Because Jesus said the same thing. He said, look, if a man keep my words, he shall never taste death. And he said, what are you talking about? All the prophets and everybody are dead. And you're still talking about, you know, a man will not see death. He said, well, and Jesus put it out there. So people struggle with that. We find it hard to believe that God has actually abolished death. You know, now, remember what I've been saying the last 2 weeks. God doesn't start anything until first he has finished it. Even though it looks like it hasn't started, but he has already finished it. He has already abolished death, even though it looks like people are still dying. He's abolished it already. Because, and we know that, well, it's going to take a long time for people to figure it out. You know, that's why he said the last enemy, you know, to be destroyed is death. But if we understand the things that God is telling us, we will see that God has already abolished death. Now, he's put us on a path that we should be walking in the light and not even be subject to darkness anymore. The way to do that, well, is for us to walk in the light of his word. Back to the word. That's where the light is at. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. You know, so that's where light is. It's in the word of God. Because that word is the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 1, verse 10 tells us that God through Christ has already abolished death. And he has brought immortality, life and immortality to light through the gospel. Even though it looks like it's not there, but he's already done it. And there are some that will attain unto it. They'll figure it out. Like Enoch did figure it out. God always leaves himself a witness in the Bible. Enoch figured it out. Elijah figured it out. In fact, Elijah, entourage from heaven. You know, Enoch disappeared mysteriously. We don't know. He just got transformed into light and boom, he was gone. Well, Elijah, on the other hand, he had an entourage, chariots of fire from heaven. Somehow he figured it out. But Elijah's case is different because he's got an encounter later on as one of the two witnesses. But Enoch is somebody that will never die. The Bible says by faith, it was translated that he should not see death. And you say that about Elijah. You know, that Elijah should not see death. Elijah will see death sometime in the great tribulation as one of those two witnesses. But Enoch will not see death. He will never see death. And because he figured it out. Now, for us, are we afraid of death? Absolutely not. But death is darkness. You know, and it should have no part in us. You know, Jesus abolished death. He paid for it that through his life, and his death, we may have life. You know, so the death that I'm talking about today, even though I'm talking about physical death, I'm also talking about darkness, which is separation from the light. Remember, God separated the light from the darkness. So when we are in darkness, we are separated from the light, which means we are separated from the life of God. We're walking in darkness. Now, let me give us a few more scriptures as I begin to bring this home. Psalm 119, you know, I talked about the light is in God's word. Well, let's see how the psalmist, he brought it out. He said, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 105. That word is what carries the light. When you don't have the word, you don't have the light. And everyone that hears me speak, I always say it every day. I mingle it in my prayer. At the start of the lesson, I will say the entrance of your word brings light. And you'll find that in Psalm 119 and verse 130. I say it every single day because there is no light anywhere else. In fact, Isaiah says, if they don't speak according to the word, there's no light in them. So the word is what carries the light. We must have this light of life. We must have this word. The other day, in the previous lesson of the shadows of the end, I talked about the showbread and the hidden manna. You know, the hidden manna, which I will now be getting into, not today, but all of this is a foundation leading to that. You know, it's what carries that light of life. Carries that light of life. You know, it's also referred to as the day springing up in our hearts. It's referred to as the day star. It's all about the word of God. The idea is God is modeling us after his own son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. God is making us to be like Christ, who was the very light, taking us out of darkness. You know, he's already done that, but he's fashioning us unto his own very nature. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 will tell us that, you know, this is part of the plan of God. to take us away from darkness and bring us into the kingdom of his dear son. But he has already done it. He says, God had delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness. Darkness has no more power over us. Well, but if you hate your brother or you don't love them like you should, you open up a portal for darkness to creep back in and have power over you. If you don't listen to the word, you know, then you don't have that light. The light, the word is like a fuel to the light. It's like if you don't eat, you eventually starve to death. Now, if you don't receive this word, you eventually snuff out the light. There was a period in time for hundreds of years where there was people didn't have what they called a teaching priest. We covered the role of the priest the other day. They were the ones to bring the word. You know, there was no teaching priest, and they did not know the true God, and the law had perished from the priests. So, perished from everywhere, and then they were in darkness. When the word is not there, people will be in darkness. Second Chronicles 15 and 3 said, for many years, Israel had been without the true God and no teaching priest, and they were without law. So they were in darkness for many years. Now, by the grace of God, at even time, it is coming back to be light. According to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, we see here that at even time in verse 7, it will be light again. During the days of darkness and the years of darkness, the centuries of darkness, whatever you might call it, at some point in time, the pillar of fire returns again. Hallelujah. And if the light of God will return again. According to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5, the Lord will recreate again upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies the glory of God to give them light and to give them security. The cloudy pillar by day, the glory of the pillar of fire by night, for all of that upon all of the people of God shall be the glory of God for a defense. We see how God, when he let them out in Exodus chapter 13, we see how he let them out in verse 21 and 22. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. He also led them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, both by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people to give them light by day and by night. Ladies and gentlemen, physically speaking, and also spiritually speaking, the pillar of fire must return at even time to give us light again. Literally speaking, the cloudy pillar phenomena, the pillar of fire phenomena will return again. This must happen because this is what the Lord said will happen in Isaiah 4 and verse 5. It will bring it back. Now, the return of the true word, the return of the true teaching priests, and the return of the pillar of fire and the cloudy pillar phenomena will all go hand in hand. And out of that pillar of fire, the voice of God will speak again, but this time around, the people will not remove far away and say, we don't want to hear the voice. They will run to that voice. We will run to that voice. We will not run away from the voice. We will not remove afar off from the voice, but we will run to the voice. Ladies and gentlemen, the light of Christ in us comes from us hearing the word of God. The word of God in us is what generates light. But the word of God in us is also what teaches us to love your brother and to love your sister. Because if you don't, you will still remain in darkness. But let me read this to you from the noted evangelist Neil Frisby, that he wrote many years ago. Said, "The cloud and the pillar of fire phenomena will return at the midnight hour. The cloud that rested on and went before elective Israel will now cover the bride and separate them from the foolish and the world." In other words, the anointing will become so strong, it will be seen at times like a cloud. I mean, he wrote many things we call scrolls. He called it scrolls. This one is scroll number 24. And he said, all those who are outside this dynamic haze of power will miss the rapture. My goodness. Well, why is that? He didn't explain it, but let me tell you something. In the book of Acts chapter 13, the first couple of verses, I want to explain a mystery to us, which some people may not understand. How prophets and teachers work together. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lysias of Cyrene, and Menahem, and all of these people, you know, and so on. And there was Saul also. So as they ministered unto the Lord, Holy Spirit spoke to them. But here's what I want to bring out. Prophets and teachers. Now there's a prophet. I mean, this man, Neil Frisby, was like a prophet many times. He gave us many prophecies, which we still share and read today. In fact, we have a room called the Prophetic Scroll Room. We do that on Tuesdays. You know, look at all these incredible things which this man provided in our time. I happen to have been under his ministry for 22 years. Was my pastor, so to speak. You know, so, but there's the role of the prophet. And then there's the role of the teacher. A prophet drops the word. That teacher unpacks it. Now, so one word that he might say like, oh, you know, the pillar of fire will return at midnight to lead the elective bride. And those who are outside this dynamic case of power might meet the rapture. Well, that's a prophet talking. But the teacher will break it down. Break it down. What does that really mean? Otherwise, it'll be over our heads. Just say something and we just don't know what he's talking about. So the prophet will drop it. The teacher will pick it up and expound it, which is what we've been doing in these rooms, expanding these things to make us understand how it will be. Like today's lesson, what does the pillar of fire at midnight return? Well, everything that I've been explaining today is all of that, because that light is what gives us, you know, goes with us night by day. God will literally return to lead the elect like he did. Everything that was in the old was a type. Bringing them out of Egypt to lead them to the promised land was a type. And many of them dying in the wilderness and not making it in was a type. You know, even great Moses becoming at one time, you know, whirled up and so forth and saying, shall we bring water out of the rock for you and so forth, was also a type, you know, because at some point in time, you know, he was thinking that he, it was him going to bring this water out of the rock. There's a lot of people today who have been sent to lead the people of God. After a while, they forget and they think it's they who are doing it. Well, he was a type. He didn't get in there. God was angry with him. That the people died in the wilderness was a type. People have been dying for years, just going around in circles. God has been promising us this thing, but people are just dying, going around in circles. And a lot of people that believe these things in the 70s, 80s, they've fallen away or died. But there is a remnant. Glory to God. God always has a remnant because it's his word and it is his bond. And his name is at stake. And every word that Jesus said, nothing will fall to the ground unfulfilled. It will be fulfilled. So now we are unpacking what it means to walk in the light. We're unpacking what it means to have that pillar of fire with you. We're unpacking what it means for the voice of God to speak directly to you. We've been talking about these things for weeks, you know, but we're going to bring it all together. But there is a hunger and a thirsting and a yearning that must come from the hearts of the people to want to experience what we are talking about here. You know, now, when the Lord physically brings to pass Isaiah 4 and 5 again, when we begin to see the glory of God physically again, why it'll be like also when the king and the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud that was in the house. It'll be like when Mount Sinai was altogether covered in a smoke again. But like I said, this time around, we're not going to run away from those phenomena. We're going to be drawn to it. Moses was a good type of being drawn to the phenomena. When in Exodus chapter 3, he saw the burning bush, that the bush was not consumed. He said, I must now draw near and see, check this thing out. Why is the bush burning, but the bush is not consumed? And because he drew near, then he heard the voice of God. You know, but today, many people, when they see the phenomena, they either run away or they run off. But ladies and gentlemen, we will not run away and we will not run off. We will draw near for even more to get that hidden manna. The showbread will come. The pillar of fire may come. It will be like a showbread out in display. Yeah, but some people will say, I want to check it out. They are the ones that are going to get the hidden manna. And they were ready to align their lives with the word of God. There will be no excuses. No excuses. We will not make any excuse of why the reason we hate our brother. Because if we do, we are still walking in darkness and we cannot be a part of God. We will walk completely in the light. And this light of life, who is also called the day star, he's now rising in our hearts. He's bringing us, the Lord is forming us, molding us like the Christ. And the target is Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So that's the destination. We will be exactly like that when it's all said and done. And he was the light. And we will be that light. And he's forming us into that light, shaping us right now, cutting off excesses, pruning away the things that do not edify the Father and the things that are not pleasing, and pressing us into a more accurate shape. And at the end of the day, will be a complete reflection of him. Well, that's going to be my lesson today. The light of life and the day star in our hearts. the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It starts by us looking into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, but not walking away when he shows it to you. Otherwise, you'll be like a man that looks in the mirror, sees his face is dirty, but does nothing like it about it and just goes away. That's not us. When we hear this word of God, we will respond in kind. That's right. You know, because, you know, we've been a part of that word, and that word's been a part of us from the beginning. That's why Sami said, I rejoice at your word as someone that received or found great spoil. For us, the word of God is the rejoicing of our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why you are in this room. Because you rejoice to hear the word of God. That's why you're here. That's why you keep coming back. Now, some people can't endure it. In fact, the anointing that God will bring at the end when the pillar of fire returns, which is happening now gradually, God is getting us ready for it. It will be so strong, it will scorch the knees of the lukewarm and the foolish. And that's the way the prophecy was given. But the elect of God will hold the oneness of the word of God. You know, we'll hold the word of God. We'll put Jesus on top where he belongs. You know, there's another prophecy given in one other scroll that Neil Frisby wrote called Scroll 61. He called it the rolling and hurling forth of the new move. Well, he said the Lord is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, which we know that. Joel 2:28 tells us that. Actually, also Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter quoting the same thing. But the Lord will indeed pour out his spirit upon all flesh. However, the bride part will be different. We're not going to just be shouting, following signs and wonders. Some of them will be even lying signs and wonders. We are going to be aligned with the oneness of God's word. Because if the word of God is not there, no matter what signs they display, there's still no light in them. The word of God is what forms this bride elect at the end of the age. It's carving us out to become like the word. We will be almost like the walking word ourselves. And that is when we will hear the voice. These are my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. Just like the Christ. So Father, I pray today that we may begin to understand these things. I may begin to yearn more for the things of God. That will purify us. Bring us into a better likeness of the Son of God. Remember, as he said, make man in our image after our likeness. May the word of God shaping us daily, more and more into his likeness. The light of light is with you. The day star has arisen in your hearts. Walk in his light, and you shall not stumble. The light is in you. You will not stumble. Though there be gross darkness in the world, yet because you have the light of life in you, you will not stumble. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.